Well, I've got a message tonight that I'm going to share with you that I'm calling Don't Get Dissed by the Devil. Yeah, don't get dissed by the devil. When I was growing up, I remember that was something that we used to say, like somebody would be, sometimes people call it cutting the dozens, or, you know, where they make fun of you, they make jokes about you or something, and you tell them, hey man, don't diss me. Any of you remember that phrase, that saying, don't diss me, man. Don't diss me. Well, I grew up in a neighborhood where we did a lot of that back and forth dissing. And I was just thinking about that. And this message, don't get dissed by the devil, just came up. To diss someone meant, when I was a kid, it meant don't disrespect me, or don't disregard me, or don't devalue me. It had several different meanings. And the devil, really, when you look at Scripture, has been trying to diss God's people from the beginning, trying to devalue us, trying to make us less than what God intended. In Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, we see that from the beginning, when we see the enemy come into play and into people's lives, that we see in Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:1, it says this. It says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And what he did was he took what God had said and he distorted it. He tried to diss them by distorting God's word and saying something different than what God had intended. He twists God's commands into something that's restrictive or confusing. But God had a purpose in what he was doing, and he gave them specific instructions. But the enemy, and he'll come to us the same way, he tries to distort something that God is doing in our life to diss us, to get us to look at it differently. Then we see, reading Genesis 3, 2 and 3, and then we'll read down to verse 4, it says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. But what he was trying to do was get them again. He wanted to diss them. He wanted them to discount what God was saying to them. It says in Genesis 3:4, it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, because the devil wanted to diss them. He wanted to get them into disbelief about what God had said. He said, oh, you won't surely die if you do that. And he wanted to get them to begin to disbelieve what God had said. Eve then became discontent with God's provision. Genesis 3:6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. She feels like something's missing. Now imagine walking with God in the cool of the day in the garden, and all of a sudden being discontent for the one thing that you can't have, when you can have so many other things. Remember the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Sometimes we get so distracted by the one thing we don't have that we forget about all the other things that we do have, and we become discontented, which is what the enemy wants to do in our lives. Then we see in Genesis 3:8, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, this is so sad, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, Lord God, among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves because of their fear and their shame. They were hiding because they knew that they had become disconnected. The enemy was trying to disconnect them from the one who was their provider. And so then we see in Genesis 3, you skip down to verses 23 and 24, it says, therefore God sent them out of the garden of Eden till the ground, to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So now they've lost their place. They've lost their authority. They've lost their assignment. The devil got them displaced. Got them displaced from their... When we look at how the enemy tries to diss us, what he does, the word there, that specific prefix, diss, it means to reverse something, to remove it, to separate it, or to negate. And so the enemy works in our lives to try to separate us from things that God has done or negate something that God has done in our lives. He wants to get us dissed from those things, disconnected, displaced, sometimes disoriented. We can end up, the scripture talks about being discouraged. There are places where it says, you know, do not be dismayed. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Well, if God has to tell us not to be dismayed, then there must be the threat of being dismayed that's out there. Isn't that right? Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. The enemy wants us to be disobedient. He wants us to get disqualified. Titus 1:16 says they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. He wants us to be distressed. He wants us to dispute with one another. Proverbs 6:19 talks about discord. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without disputing. So distorted, discounted, disbelieved, discontented, discouraged, dismayed, disobedient, disqualified, distressed, or in discord. The devil wants to diss you. But I get good news for you. You don't have to get dissed by the devil. You don't have to get dissed by the devil because God is able to keep that which we've committed unto him. When we commit our lives to God, he's able to keep us. If we'll allow the things that God has taught us in his word, showed us from his word, those things that he's made promises to us, if we'll hold on to those things, the enemy can't disconnect us from the things that God intends for you and I to enjoy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not about to get dissed by the devil. God connects us and the devil tries to disconnect. God fills us with courage and the devil tries to discourage. God's word builds up faith and the devil tries to push us into disbelief. God brings peace and the enemy brings distress. God gives clarity and the enemy brings distraction. But God didn't leave us defenseless. Amen? He gave us a pattern. He gave us spiritual strategies, things that we could do to keep from getting dissed by the devil. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've been going along and things have been going well, but something will come up and all of a sudden, all the joy that I had within me, all the peace that it seemed like I had, all of those things, the enemy comes in and finds some way to get me disconnected from those things. And pretty soon, I start forgetting about all of the stuff that God has done for me, all of the times that he's come through for me because of the one time that I'm facing today. You know, the devil doesn't want you to, like when you've got past victories, he's not chipping away at those past victories. He's trying to convince you, yeah, God maybe did it before, but this is the time that you're not going to get it. This is the time. Oh yeah, he healed you of that other thing, but this is different. This is a serious condition. Oh yeah, he provided for your bill last time, but that was only $500. This is $2,000. But is it any different for God? Only different for us. Isn't that right? But I'm not about to let the enemy diss me. How about you? Praise the Lord. So tonight, I want to give you briefly. Everybody say briefly. I'm going to do my best. That's how series are started, that word right there. I'm going to try to get through all this. I'm going to give you some keys tonight that I believe will help us to keep from being dissed by the devil. Here's my first one. All of these, you'll detect a theme. They all begin with R. The first one is this, remember. Key number one is this: remember. Remember God's faithfulness in past circumstances. Many times, discouragement starts with forgetfulness. The enemy knows this and wants us to forget what God has already done. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12, it says this: I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Then in 1 Samuel, we see this. David, he's speaking to Saul in 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 34. It says, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came out and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. Your servant has killed a lion and a bear, and this Philistine will be like one of them. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. When we remember God's faithfulness in the past, we build confidence for our future. Those times that God has done something in your life and brought you through something, there's just something about rehearsing those things, reminding yourself of those things, reminding yourself of God, what God has already done in your life. When you're facing a mountain that you don't think that you're going to be able to get over, and you begin to talk up what God did the last time, you start to say, I've got a note in my phone where I just keep track of all these places where God has told me he was going to do something and he brought me through, so that when the enemy comes and tells me that this next time it won't be that way, I can get on my phone and I can just scroll through there and begin to remind myself that God is faithful every time. God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his children. He will do what he said he would do. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews. It says this in Hebrews 10:23. It says, well, go there with me real quick. Let's go to Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then it says this, for he is faithful that promised. How can we hold fast? Because he is faithful. Then you look at the great hall of faith. This, it begins to list all of the things and how they believe. And it says that even Sarah, it said she considered him faithful. When we consider his faithfulness, when we remind ourselves that God was faithful last time and what he's done before, he'll do it again. And he'll do it for me. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. If God will take care of that person and their need and that sickness, he'll take care of the one that I'm dealing with right now. I used to tell people, when somebody would come to me and they would tell me that they had gotten a diagnosis that could have been terminal, I would say, here's something that I want you to do. Do yourself a favor. If you're going to, because there's this natural inclination to want to find out more about it, if you're going to go online and you're going to start Googling stuff, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, people who have dealt with whatever it is and been healed, people who have gotten victory, people who have gotten, why? Because you want to follow success. You want to find out what they did, what God did in their lives, and you want to remind yourself of those things. But one key thing to keep from getting dissed by the devil, to keep from being discouraged, is to remind yourself of what God has already done in your life. And when you remind yourself of those things, you'll get so excited that you'll just rise up in faith and begin to act just a little bit differently. Amen? So remember God's faithfulness in the past. Here's the second one. The second one is this: research the word. Find the scripture that covers your case. We can't believe God apart from actual knowledge. We need to know what he told us in his word. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. When? When you meditate on it day and night. when you get in the Word and you find out what the Word says. If we want victory, we have to find out what God promised for our situation. As much as I want to try to stand on what you know from the Word of God, I got to get it for myself. Thank God for good teaching and thank God for good preaching, but you want to get in the Word and you want to find a scripture that you can stand on. What is God speaking to you from His Word? You find out what the Word says and you count Him faithful that if He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It cannot change. If His Word says it, then His Word is for me. Everything in there was written for our admonition and for our learning, the scripture says. Isn't that right? So if I can find somewhere in the Word of God, I can't do it just because Uncle Joe found out about it. I can't do it because somebody else said it was possible. I got to find out what God said. And if I find out what God said about it, then I'm going to hold on to that Word like a dog with a bone. You just can't shake me loose of it. Why? Because the devil will try to pull you away from that Word and get you convinced that the things that he's telling you are the things that you're going to have to put up with. But what do we do when liars lie? We don't believe liars, and the devil is a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. If we want victory, we have to find God's promise for our situation. We got to open the Bible. We got to look up the promises. Maybe highlight them. How many of you got scriptures highlighted in your Bible? Where you go through there and you just highlight the Word of God. Why? What are you doing? You're saying, oh, I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to meditate on that some more. That's a place where God has given me some revelation. I'm going to look at that. Oh, right here. Glory to God. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. I'm not going to cast away my confidence because there's a reward attached to holding on to it. Amen? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, scripture says this in Hebrews 11, 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. The worlds were framed by the Word of God, and I got that word underlined in there. Why? Because there was a point in my life where I was going through the Word of God and I was meditating on it, and I said, I got to highlight that because the worlds were framed by God's Word. And if He can make worlds, if He can make planets, if He can make the universe, the God that created everything, my problem is not too hard for a God who can with His words make planets. Amen? If we'll get in the Word of God and find out things for ourselves, begin to go. I can remember when I was dealing with sickness in my body and I was flipping through every place that I could find a healing scripture in the Word of God. I would flip through and I would read that scripture and I would flip to the next one and I would read that scripture. Thank God somebody gave me a copy of God's Medicine where Brother Hagin had put them all in one little mini book, and I would flip through there and I would meditate on those things. Why? Because there's voices screaming at me that says that it's different than what God says that it is. And I have to make a decision that I'm either going to go with what the other voices say or what my God is telling me in His Word. And if I don't know His Word, I can't stand on it. So I get in the Word and I highlight the Word and I underline the Word and I hide it in my heart so that when I need it, it comes out of my spirit, man. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. I'm about to preach myself happy and hot up here. Glory to God. That's okay. I'm about to put in a bunch of calories on Thursday. Any of them I burn off right here, Lord. I can remember when I used to carry around, when I was dealing with sickness in my body, and I would carry around a card in my wallet. And I had my confession. There are lots of streams of healing, lots of ways that you can receive healing. I got hands laid on me. Nothing happened in the natural. Now, something happened, but nothing happened in the natural. But I made the day that I got prayed for the day that I received my healing. And I wrote that date down on that little card, and I wrote a scripture, and I wrote a confession. And I can remember walking around at work. My body was hurting. I wanted to cry. I wanted to give up. I wanted to stop. But I would pull that out, and I would look at that scripture, and I would make that confession. And I would remind myself that March the 8th, 2003, that's the day that I received my healing. And I'd meditate on that word. Why? Because when God's word gets in our spirits, then when the enemy comes and tries to disconnect us from that word, we refuse to allow him to put himself in a place in our lives that God belongs. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So number two is research. Research the word and find scriptures that cover your case. Here's the third one, release. Release your faith by speaking the word. Faith acts. What we believe won't change until we say something, until we do something. Just because you believe something, faith has to be released. When I say that I believe something, the question that comes next is, what are you going to do with that belief? Now that you believe differently, well, when I believe something, I act differently. You know, if Pastor Bill, I heard what he's got on the menu at his house for Thanksgiving. If Pastor Bill invited me over to his house for Thanksgiving, well, I got faith that if he invited me over there, that that food belongs to me. But it means I'm going to have to act. I'm going to say, Sarah, get in the car. We're going to Pastor Bill's house because he's got the menu ready. Amen? I have to act on that word. Well, if God gives us a word, if we find something in the scripture and God's word is good, then the next step, logically, in order to receive that word that's been given unto us, is to act on that word. Isn't that right? We have to act like that's so. When we begin to act differently, one of the ways that we act is by speaking. We can release by speaking. Mark 11, 23 and 24, you know this scripture. For assuredly I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. Therefore Jesus said, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall. But we have to say some things. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore. That was weak. We believe and therefore. We speak. You know, you may not feel like saying something different. You may not feel like getting up and getting out of the bed. But what do well people do? We got to get up and we got to get moving. We got to put legs to what we believe. When we get the word of God, we got to keep pressing forward. And even sometimes when it gets hard, we got to keep pushing forward. We got to keep saying it. Amen. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If we're not a liar, then we believe the things that are coming out of our mouths. So what are we saying? What are we saying? What are we allowing to come out of our mouths? What are we speaking? Are we talking about our mountain? Or are we talking to our mountain? And it's real easy to get over into that. The enemy will try to discourage you and get you to start talking about your mountain. Hey, you know, I know God is good and I know he's faithful, but man, this is a real big bill. Or the doctors have said that there is no hope. Now, and we, you know, thank God for doctors. Oh, they're trying to get people well. So we are grateful for what doctors do. But what happens if a doctor says there's nothing else that they can do? It doesn't negate that God is a healer. He revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And if he ever was a healer, then he is a healer. The devil will try to convince you, well, see, you know, medical science says you can't do anything about that. Well, I appreciate medical science, but that's not the last word. They don't know everything. They don't know everything. And I'm not going to quit believing. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to release my faith in my actions and in my words. Amen. If we'll replace murmuring with meditation, complaints with confessions, we'll replace fear with faith. Amen. So number three is release. Number four is this. I'm going to have to talk faster. Number four is rejoice. We have to rejoice and praise God before we see the answer. And Pastor Craig said today, he said, rejoice. That means you had to rejoice before. Rejoice is actually a word. I looked it up. It's an old English word. It means this, joy, delight, enjoyment. Sometimes it's used as a verb, make glad. It's where, so that's where we get our word rejoice from. Joyce means to make glad. It means to delight. It means enjoyment. We have to rejoice sometimes. The devil can't handle a believer who praises God before the breakthrough. The devil doesn't know what to do with that. You remember the story that always blesses me about when Brother Hagin had what he said, alarming heart symptoms. When he was in the bed and he was laying there, he had been healed, raised up off of a bed of affliction. And now he's out, he's preaching, and he's in somebody, another minister's home. And he's laying in the bed and he covers himself up because he didn't want to wake anybody up. And he was just laughing real quietly. Ha, 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 ha. You remember he'd do ha, 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 ha. Ha 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 ha! Had the head, the covers over his head. Ha 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 ha! And he said, the devil said to him, "What are you laughing about?" And he said, "I'm laughing at you, devil." And he said, "Laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me?" He said, "Because you said I'm not going to get it this time." Ha 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 ha! He said, "But I already got it. It was already paid for." We got to rejoice even when the symptoms are still there. We lift our hands and we thank God, glory to God, and we say, "Thank you, Lord." We're not thanking him for the problem. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm whole. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided for this need. Thank you, Lord, that you've met all my needs." I remember I was in my kitchen one day. It's been a number of years ago. I had lots of things going on. Just, man, I was feeling real down. I mean, just, you know, not just, I mean, I was under the barrel. I felt like, you know, that I wasn't even over the barrel. I was under the barrel. I was so low. And I was in the kitchen and I'm trying to get myself stirred up. And I was trying to do that. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Man, it wasn't working much. I just wasn't getting it. Ha, ha, ha. It just wasn't working. It wasn't working. But all of a sudden, out of my heart, I just said, "You know what? If the devil brings me trouble, I'll just say ha. If the devil brings me trouble, I'm just going to say ha. If the devil brings me trouble, I'll just say ha." And I said this. I said, "Well, if the devil brings me trouble, I'll just say ha ha." And then I said, "And if he brings it to me double, I'll say ha ha." I said, "If he brings a triple threat, still on the word my feet are set, I'll just look him in his face and say ha ha ha." I got real tickled after that. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. No, I'm going to rejoice even when it looks hard. I'm going to rejoice even when it doesn't look like I'm going to get the victory. Why? Not because I feel victorious. Not because I feel healed. Not because I look at my bank account and it looks like everything is taken care of. Not because I feel peaceful, but because God's word says it. So ha ha ha. Glory to God, we rejoice even when it doesn't look like anything has changed. Amen. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Psalm 34:1 says, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Habakkuk 3:17-19 says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, though fruit may be on the vines, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high heels." Heels, even when the trees are not blossoming, even when it doesn't look like anything has changed, even when I'm still going to rejoice, I'm still going to lift up my voice. Whether I can sing or whether I can't, isn't no matter at all. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look the devil in the face and I'm going to say, "God's word is true. God's word is true, glory to God. And so I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to give him glory. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed, not because I feel it, but because you said it. I thank you, Lord, that my needs are met. I thank you that these holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving, is going to be all right with my family because the greater one's on the inside of me. And whatever, maybe I've been estranged from them. Maybe it's been hard to sit at the same table with some of these people, but it's going to be all right because the love of God is on the inside of me and I'm going to let it well up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't wait for your circumstances to change. Praise God even when things aren't going good. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So we said remember, research, release, rejoice, and here's key number 5. Repeat. Repeat the process every time the enemy tries to diss you. You just repeat the process. It's not a one-time fix. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that we just every time, all right, what am I going to do? The devil's trying to diss me. I'm going to go to the Word. The devil's trying to get me off track. I'm going to research the Word. I'm going to remember God, what you did in my life already, God. I'm going to get in the Word and I'm going to get a scriptures that cover my case today. I'm going to begin to release my faith. I'm begin to talk about my victory and not my problem. I'm going to begin to rejoice and give God glory for everything that he's done in my life. I'm not letting go. I'm just going to keep on praising God. You say, uh-oh, here comes another attack. Oh, glory to God. Rinse and repeat. I'm just going to go back and I'm going to remember what God said in his Word. Amen. I'm going to get in the Word of God and I'm going to get scripture. I'm going to remind myself of what God has done. I'm going to begin to release my faith in my words and my actions, and I'm going to rejoice. Uh-oh, here comes another attack. Rinse and repeat. I'm just going to go back and I'm going to remember those things that God has done in the past. I'm going to find scripture, remind myself of what his Word says. I'm going to begin to release my faith in my words, and then I'm going to rejoice, and I'm just going to keep doing it over and over and over and over. And when God comes back, he will find me faithful. He will find me as somebody who hasn't quit. There's something our pastor says all the time that will just, make a tadpole slap a whale. He said that you cannot be defeated and you will not quit. You cannot be defeated and you will not quit. You can't just let it go. Why? The only way that we don't get victory, the only way that we lose is if we lay down and quit. But if we just keep repeating the process, just keep staying with the Word, just keep standing on his Word, just keep reminding ourselves of his faithfulness, just keep rejoicing and releasing and rejoicing and releasing and rejoicing and releasing. We just keep pumping it up. Glory to God. We just keep on going and we will outlast the enemy. I know what his future holds and I know what mine holds. Do you know what yours is? Then you can rejoice. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're standing up, why don't you just give God praise? Hallelujah. Whoa, we magnify you, Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the truth of your Word. Thank you for your healing mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your meeting all of our needs, Lord. Thank you for, oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for the righteousness that you've made us all, that you put us in righteousness, Lord. You've made us righteous with your righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you, Lord, that sickness and disease has to leave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that every need is met in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you for the joy that is our strength. Oh, glory to God. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, that we're not going in despair into the holidays. We're not going into Thanksgiving in despair. We're rejoicing, knowing, God, that you have good plans for us. You have good things in store for us. We honor you. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we rejoice. We rejoice, yeah, we rejoice, ha-ha, and we lift our voice. It's the only choice. We'll not hang our heads down, but we'll lift them up high, standing in full assurance that our redemption draweth nigh. The victory you promised, what you told us in your Word, are the things that we'll hold on to, the things that we have heard. Pushing darkness back and standing on your mercy and your grace until that great day cometh when we look upon your face. We rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. for there is no other choice. Each one will lift our voice. We'll rejoice. We'll rejoice. We'll rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, our altar care workers are coming down for anything. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you this. He loves you. He died for you. And God's made you a promise that if you'll accept him, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you'll be saved. You can be born again right there where you're at. If you're in this building and you don't know Jesus, you can come down here and one of these altar care workers, we just ask that the ladies come to the ladies, men come to the men, but you can come down here and you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can receive prayer for healing in your body. Whatever you need, don't leave here like you came. We love you. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Thank you so much. Keep our senior pastors in prayer that they'll get rest over these holidays. Believe in God for them to have rest, relaxation. Amen. Is there anything else, Pastor Bill, Pastor Greg, anything? God bless you guys. Love on your church family before you leave. We love you. Come back on Wednesday night. We'll see you at Hour of Power.